And it's time to say hello once again to our ethicist, Randy Cohen. When Randy's not busy writing the ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine, he's been known to stop by our studios and answer your questions. Hello again, Randy.
Hi, Steve.
Shall we go to our letter here?
Yes, please.
We have a letter from Vic, a gentleman who asks us to identify him only as Vic. He lives in Seattle, Washington, and he writes as follows. I'm in the food business. I sell to distributors who, in turn, sell to retailers and restaurants. Several large interstate distribution companies have demanded that I send them an invoice, charging them more than the price we agree upon for the products that I sell them. They then want me to send them a check for the difference. They want to be overcharged and then be sent the difference. It is the company that is requiring this, he writes, not an individual employee. They have entered into cost-plus contracts with their customers. These distributors can show the customer an invoice that overstates their cost, add the contracted cost amount, and also collect from me, the supplier. Now, I refuse to do this, Vic writes. It does not seem right to help someone cheat. It also drives the cost of food up for consumers. Consequently, I've lost business to some of my competitors, my profits suffer, and my shareholders, employees, and their families also suffer. The distributors always assure me by saying that everybody does it. Also, it appears that it would be legal for me to do this as well. Am I acting properly, Randy Cohen?
He's acting more than properly. He's acting admirably. It's a fine thing that he's refusing to take the everybody does it defense. And, you know, everybody does all sorts of wicked things. You know, everybody watches TV. Everybody recalls their governor. That, of course, is no justification. And what's particularly impressive about this fellow to me is that in acting honorably, it's actually money out of his pocket. You know, it's easy for me to talk the talk, but I'm very impressed that he is actually acting this way at cost to himself. I do think Vic was wrong about one thing. I think he's wrong about these transactions being legal. I should issue my standard disclaimer here that I'm not a lawyer. I do not purport to give legal advice.
You're not qualified in any way, right?
I mean, there's absolutely not. But I did check with a couple of lawyers about this and was told that if Vic would cooperate, he would be abetting the distributor's fraud, and that could itself be illegal. That the distributor is plainly cheating the customer who's agreed to pay a real cost plus something else, and instead is being asked to pay a fake cost plus something else. If Vic would knowingly aid in that, that could be a crime.
And we now have on the line the gentleman who asked us to identify him only as Vic. He's in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Vic.
Good afternoon.
So I just want to make sure, just for people who are having a little bit of difficulty following this scam, or whatever you want to call it, you're selling food to these distributors, and they're reselling it to restaurants.
That's correct. Yeah, they have trucks, which we don't have, and so we need to work through these people to get the product to the places where it'll be consumed.
And the distributors want to pretend that it's costing them more than it really does to get the food so that they can overcharge the restaurants for it.
Yeah, that's right. The restaurants have entered into an agreement where they pay the distributor a fixed upcharge.
An amount over whatever their cost was.
Over whatever their cost is, that's right.
Because the price of food varies all the time.
That's right, exactly right.
And does everybody do this?
Well, I raised four children who are all adults, and I heard the everybody's doing it, excuse so often when they were kids that I don't buy into it at all.
Well, if you refuse to do this and you're losing business, as you say, that suggests to me that everybody else is doing this.
Well, I certainly have reason to believe that there are enough people doing it that it makes our life a little more complicated, you know.
Randy Cohen, what can he do in this situation to keep his ethics and also keep his job?
This is where it gets a little ethically tricky, that what you can do is call the cops. You can certainly speak to the district attorney and see if they will investigate and prosecute the people who are committing this kind of fraud and clean up your business. You may do that, but in my view, you don't have an ethical duty to do that. You're not required to do that. And I realize that to engage in any kind of whistleblowing like this often comes with real costs. But that is one alternative.
So other than patting you on the back, we have absolutely no constructive advice for you at all, then.
I had to get it off my chest.
Gentleman known as Vic in Seattle, Washington. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
If you're feeling that someone may be ethically incorrect, you can drop us a line at watc@npr.org. And please be sure to put the word ethics in the subject line. Please also include a phone number where we can reach you. And you may be graced with one of Randy Cohen's pearls of wisdom or, as in this case, no real wisdom at all, but it sure was fun to hear the problem. Randy, thanks for joining us as always.
A pleasure, more or less. Thank you, Steve.